Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thank you. Into the 9 o'clock hour we go. 9:08 now with Barbara Kowalczyk, Director of the Institute for Food Safety and Nutrition Security at George Washington University. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
I'm okay. Did you have a nice Labor Day?
Yes, we did. We celebrated with family, and but thank you for having me on this morning.
Doesn't get any better than that. And of course, yeah. I hope the food was safe, which I would think with you in charge, it was.
Yes, I hope so. Yeah. We followed all the safe food handling practices that are recommended, but nothing's ever 100%.
Tell me about the Foodborne Diseases Active Surveillance Network, or NETWORK.
Okay, so...
Or FoodNet, rather. I'm sorry. FoodNet.
Yeah. So it's more commonly called FoodNet. It is a surveillance system for foodborne disease here in the United States. It's been very effective. It's one of... in helping us better understand the epidemiology of foodborne disease. Basically, there are two types of surveillance systems, active surveillance systems and passive surveillance systems. And FoodNet is an active surveillance system. So it goes out and they actively look for foodborne disease cases in 10 sites around the country that are representative of the U.S. population. And that helps us understand trends in foodborne illness over time, sources of foodborne illness, and really informs evaluations and around policy initiatives, and provides us information to prevent disease in the future.
So the active part is about what's happening. The passive part is about what happened?
Yeah, so you can think about it as in an active surveillance, CDC and the state health departments go out to the clinical labs and to the doctors and say, have you seen any cases of foodborne disease? In a passive system, the state health department and CDC wait until somebody calls them and says, hey, we've had a case of foodborne disease. And as you can imagine, a lot of people don't call very often, or they call later, you know, when they have time. Mm-hmm. Active surveillance systems tend to be much more complete and comprehensive and, you know, are really viewed as the gold standard.
All of this, FoodNet is under the auspice of the auspices of the CDC, correct?
Yes. So CDC receives about 70 this past year. They got about $74 million to do foodborne disease surveillance. And half of that goes to the state and local tribal and territorial public health agencies, who are really the boots on the ground. And that pretty much pays for all of our foodborne disease surveillance in the United States. Most states don't provide much funding, if any at all.
So let's go to Vibrio, and we'll try to keep it somewhat simple. And we had a problem with that in Louisiana. I think 22 people, if I got that right, have been affected by it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I haven't checked the numbers this morning, but at CDC. Mm-hmm. But as far as I know, there are 22 cases of Vibrio vulnificus infection in Louisiana. Four people have died, and everyone has been hospitalized. And of course, that is a very serious foodborne pathogen, commonly attributed to consuming raw oysters, which I know are very popular in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. And I think what I want to cover as well, and I know this isn't really your wheelhouse, but what people need to realize is, before you get all worked up about politics and CDC, is first of all, people getting sick is important, but secondly, the brand being poisoned, if you will, where all people hear is oysters from Louisiana. Oh, no, you don't want to eat those. You don't want that from the business standpoint.
Right. So outbreaks can have pretty significant impact, not just on consumer health and, kind of the healthcare system, but you can also have impacts on consumer confidence. And we saw that in 2006. There was a big spinach outbreak, if your listeners remember, and people stopped eating spinach for a very, very long time. And so one of the important pieces around surveillance is, if we're doing surveillance well, we catch these outbreaks before they're too big and stop them, which is good for consumers, but it also prevents us from getting to outbreaks that have hundreds of people, and which really shakes consumer confidence quite a bit.
I'm going to have a sidebar for the audience here, Doctor, and that is that we stopped a mid-Barataria sediment diversion, which was a huge coastal restoration project with an eye toward protecting the oyster industry. But if it's short-circuited, and you can have your own opinion about that, but if you short-circuit it now by not making sure that you test or track Vibrio, well, then you might be short-circuiting yourself, right?
Right. And this is one of the things that FoodNet does, is, and foodborne disease surveillance conducted through CDC, is they try and look at what causes the illnesses. And that helps us throughout the supply chain to figure out where to intervene and what kind of testing to do, what kind of risk mitigation strategies to employ. And so it's really important that we know how many people are getting sick and how they're getting sick.
So what changed with CDC and FoodNet, or monitoring for certain pathogens?
So FoodNet has traditionally monitored for 8 pathogens, the funding for FoodNet has never been sufficient to do everything it needed to do, even at $74 million. And funding has been flat for CDC and for FoodNet for several years. And so the problem is with inflation, that's basically a pay cut, and the states can't keep absorbing those costs. And so the FoodNet sites, which are state-based, right, they came back, and the agreement was, rather than, either moving to a passive surveillance or, and I don't know how they made their decision-making, but they cut back to only monitoring for 2 pathogens, Salmonella and Shiga toxin-producing E. coli. Vibrio was one of the pathogens that they dropped.
And it's up to the state to pick it up if they want. But when it comes to Louisiana, were we surveilling that on our own or not?
No, Louisiana is not part of FoodNet. Louisiana is part of the passive surveillance system. Mm. But yes, some of the 10 FoodNet sites, it's up to the state to voluntarily report on those other illnesses. And again, you get a lot more information about those illnesses through the FoodNet sites. And it really provides better information and more complete information than we get through our passive surveillance system, which Louisiana is a part of.
So what is your big concern here, I guess?
My big concern is that we're going to see the number of foodborne illnesses that get reported to CDC go down, which may be misleading that the food's getting safer. But the other thing is that I'm really worried that outbreaks won't be detected until they're really big. The size of outbreaks has really gone down over time. Back in 1993, there was a huge jack-in-the-box outbreak that sickened like 700 people and killed four children. And that was detected because a physician at the Children's Hospital called the health department and said, "I've got tons of sick kids in the hospital. Something is going on." We don't want to go back to that. Again, like you said, besides consumers being negatively impacted, you also have loss of consumer confidence that impacts the industries and local economies. So we really want to be able to maintain our ability to detect outbreaks quickly and then be able to trace them to their source and understand what's going on. And FoodNet really allows us to track those trends over time and see if what we're doing is working. And we're not going to be able to do that in the same way or as effectively as we have in the past.
Has it changed with anything besides these six additional pathogens to Vibrio?
So there's the six pathogens, but what I'm really concerned about is overall, it's not just foodborne disease. Public health at the state and local level has really been compromised with all the federal cuts. A lot of that comes from the U.S., from the federal government, a lot of their funding. And so, you know, they may be trying to deal with a measles outbreak or a Vibrio outbreak, and across the board, their resources have been cut. And so they're going to have to make decisions about where they're going to put their limited resources, right? And so, for example, if there would be another type of outbreak in Louisiana, they may have to pull resources from looking at Vibrio to look at that, which would then put more people at risk.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. I want to talk about CDC and food safety in general and which direction we're headed with Dr. Barbara Kowalczyk, Director of the Institute for Food Safety and Nutrition Security at George Washington University. It is 9:19. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Yep, talking to Dr. Barbara Kowalczyk, Director of the Institute for Food Safety and Nutrition Security at George Washington University. Somebody texted in and said, it all comes to funding. You want a balanced budget, you have to cut. And I understand what they're saying, but I think doctors sometimes, and this I think goes to the CDC. Let me ask the audience a question. And if you're driving, don't answer, but just think about it. Have you ever stopped taking medicine because you felt better and then had to go back on it because the only reason you felt better was because of the medicine you were taking? And I'll be the first one to raise my hand. And it seems like when it comes to the efforts of the CDC, there are those who would say, well, the CDC's efforts are not necessary because we don't have this and we don't have that, when in fact, we don't have this or we don't have that because of the efforts of the CDC. Am I making stuff up in my head, doctor? Because I do sometimes, but let me know if I am here.
No, you're absolutely right. And one of the challenges is it's really hard to quantify prevention, right? So, and it's easy to want to cut prevention programs because if they're doing their job, you don't even think they're necessary. But there's been a couple of announcements.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Policies, just to give your listeners a sense, PulseNet, which is one of our part of our passive surveillance system, but was implemented in 1990, in the late 1990s. So there was an economic analysis of PulseNet that PulseNet cost taxpayers $7.3 million per year, but from just three pathogens, Salmonella, Shigatoxin produced E. coli, and I believe Campylobacter, it prevents 270,000 illnesses annually. Probably doesn't sound like a lot, but when you add up the medical costs and lost productivity Absolutely. Of those illnesses, it's about $507 million. So basically, for every dollar invested in PulseNet, the taxpayers save $70. So that's a really great return on investment, right? And similarly, over the past few years, past decade, I would say, CDC has been upgrading the surveillance systems by investing in the states to utilize new scientific methods. And that cost $22 million. But they estimated it saved $500 million per year in health benefits. So again, you have a return of for every dollar invested in upgrading that surveillance system, you got a $23 return. And that's really great.
Not to mention, the debt is at $37 trillion, and you're talking about $100 million. And I'm not trying to sound like it's the old joke, assuming we'll be talking about real money, but there is a proven return on this. Not to mention, we're talking about people and kids and old people and people in between, and not just dollars, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the people that are most at risk of serious foodborne illness are children, pregnant and postpartum women, senior citizens, so anyone over the age of 65, and anyone with a compromised immune system, so people that are dealing with chronic diseases. Now, most people don't think too much about foodborne disease. You know, think, oh, well, it's just diarrhea. It's going to send me to the bathroom for 24 hours. It'll be really unpleasant. But one of my areas of research is looking at long-term health outcomes associated with foodborne illness. So having an acute foodborne illness greatly increases your risk, for example, of irritable bowel syndrome and reactive arthritis. Those can really impact the quality of your life. And I don't know about you, but I do a lot to avoid just 24 to 48 hours of diarrhea, but I'd also do a lot to avoid some of the chronic diseases as well.
Do you think that's where we are as a country, doctor, that we've taken the medicine and we're feeling great, so we say, why do we need the medicine? That's where we are right now. That's where I think we are.
Yeah, I think again, if we're doing our job well, if public health is doing its job well, nobody hears about it.
Yep.
Right?
Kind of like an offensive lineman in football, right? I don't know if you're a football fan or not, but
I'm not, more of a basketball fan myself, but yes, that's exactly right. And one of the challenges is that we've been cutting the public health programs across the board. And remember, that's not just a federal cut. At least half of the $72 million that's in CDC's budget for this year goes to the states. And that means state and local jobs are also being cut. And so, it's important to realize that, and there's lots of people that say that all public health is local, because that's really where the boots hit the ground. And people are out doing programs and doing investigations in your area.
Thank you, doctor. I appreciate your time. I really do. And I hope we get our collective heads together here, because, again, like you're saying, it could be the best money we could spend, not just in terms of return, but also that we're talking about human lives here and so forth and quality of life, et cetera. Thank you.
Absolutely.
You have a good day. Thank you. Have a great weekend. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Jeff Nowak. It is game week. Tuesday of game week already for the New Orleans Saints. Coming up on 9:30, time for traffic, WWL. 9:37 now, joined by Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. How you doing, Jeff? Jeff?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Jeff Nowak, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Lost you there for a second.
Do you know why I called you Jeff Nowak?
And why is that?
Because if you can add a P in a Clemson where there ain't none, I can add an R in a Nowak where there ain't none. I'm just kidding. I texted
one time,
Jeff.
At a former job once, they gave me a certificate that said, like, thank you for, like, 3 years of service, mm-hmm. and they did that. They added
no,
an
really?
R in my name.
No kidding.
Yeah, and it felt very appreciated.
Oddly prescient of me, huh? for those that don't know, Jeff was on the air Friday talking about Clemson. I'll do it. It's hard for me to do. Yeah. But tell the story of Clemson. I just think it's interesting.
Yeah, just how they pronounce it, man. Clemson. It's we went through it when they drafted Brian Brzee, but apparently it didn't stick.
Clemson, and I've heard numerous announcers say there is no P in Clemson, but Jeff, having worked there, can tell you there is. Thoughts on JT Gray being cut?
Yeah, I think more so than anything else, it's really just the clearest indicators yet that whether this front office, whether this organization wants to use the word rebuild, reset, that's what's happening, right? I know a lot of people are like, hey, why would you cut JT Gray? Well, the only logical reason for cutting JT Gray is when you're in a situation where you're rebuilding, mm-hmm. or at least at the very minimum having a soft reset, you can't justify spending above the minimum on a special teams player, as good as that special teams player might be. And in this case, it's like, it's not that you're cutting your worst special teams player. You're cutting your best special teams player. But the Saints are in a position where they need to play young players, right? Like, you need to develop.
So wait, this isn't about money. This isn't about salary cap or money. This is just about giving other people a chance to play.
I mean, indirectly, it's about salary cap. It will be somewhat cheaper, but the cap is not the reason. Like, you didn't desperately need to make a cut to deal with the cap. He's on the final year of his contract. It's more so about, I think they really like Isaiah Stallbird. They really like Rajon Wright. They really like some of these young players, Jonas Sanker, and you need to get them on the field. And I think what you don't want to do is keep JT Gray around and then not play him, right? So, I think it's just where you're at. And I think it's what they should have done. My only criticism is you probably could have done this a little earlier. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if they were maybe holding out for, hey, maybe we can find a low-end trade and mm-hmm. it never developed, and that's where you are.
But he'll find a job.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And he was a team captain. Like, he's well-respected in the locker room. That's why, you know, these types of moves, you have to massage them correctly. Like, you can't just send a guy like JT out into the world and be like, bye. Like, that's why they send out a thank you message and all that. Because, mm-hmm. you know, there's veterans in the locker room that, you know, they've been with JT since 2018. You know, he's a big important piece of that locker room from a leadership perspective. He's been a team captain for the last few years. So that's kind of where you're at. But I think that's really all it's about is, hey, we have young players. We want to get them on the field. And this is the best way we can do that.
So tell me about rules changes in special teams. Would that have anything to do with this?
No. I mean, there are some rule changes in terms of touchbacks. You're now bringing you out to the 35-yard line. You're gonna cover more kicks, and I guess indirectly you're probably keeping more linebackers in mm-hmm. that way. You know, I think that's one of the reasons you're erring more toward linebackers because of the kickoff as opposed to punt coverage. But no, I mean the rule changes wouldn't have affected JT's spot on the roster. And frankly, I would be stunned if he's not in Denver this mm-hmm. time next week with Darren Rizzi.
Yeah, so I would make that bet. I think that's a smart bet. Tell me, heading into the Cardinals, what it is that the Saints need to do. What are you looking for them to put in, or what's going to be different than preseason?
Sorry, I think I may have lost you again.
I say heading into the game against Jeff.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Jeff, can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Don't move. Wherever you are, do not move unless you're in the middle of the streetcar track and a streetcar comes along. So
right.
What are the Saints getting ready for with the Cardinals on Sunday? Tell me about this Cardinal team.
Yeah, so that's one of the difficulties of week one, right? Kellen talked about this yesterday, is any team you face in week one, and frankly, any team facing you, there's going to be a lot of unscouted looks, right? Like, you don't know exactly what they're going to do, so you kind of just have to account for it within your own system. That said, you know, this the offense, you know, one of the players on this Cardinals offense that doesn't get talked about enough is Trey McBride. He's a guy who's averaged 100 catches and 1,000 yards over the last 2 years, kind of.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
In obscurity, if you will, like he's one of the best tight ends in football that no one really talks about because they're always talking about Brock Bowers and George Kittle and Sam Laporta and Mark Andrews. But you look at the numbers this guy has put up. He's a weapon for them. And the Saints haven't exactly covered tight ends well over the last few years. So that's going to be a matchup that I'm fascinated to see. On defense, you know, they're kind of a confusing team, and they use their safeties really, really uniquely in how they disguise looks. Buda Baker is one of the best safeties in the NFL. He gets paid like it for a reason. And so I'm curious how they're going to try to, you know, you have two young quarterbacks going against a safety group that's probably among the best in the NFL at disguising looks and confusing you post-snap. And so that's kind of what I'm looking for is, can you avoid turnovers? Cause that's whenever you go to the young quarterback, they just, you know, they're seeing a lot of stuff for the first time. And, you know, there's a lot of first time mistakes that you make that it's just like, yep, they got them. And so that's kind of what I'm anticipating the Cardinals trying to do is try to change a lot of looks, confuse the quarterbacks, make them make mistakes, make them doubt what they're seeing post snap and pre snap. And that's kind of where you're at. But this is a good Cardinals team. Like, I don't know if a lot of people realize this is a very talented roster. You know, they've had some injury issues and, you know, just general bad luck over the last few years. But you look at this team on paper, and there's really not a lot of holes in there. And, you know, they have a defensive head coach in Jonathan Gannon. That side of the ball is going to be really effective. Kyler Murray is just like the ultimate dual threat quarterback. He's going to run around. He's going to get upfield. So, you know, it's going to be a tough matchup for the Saints, no question.
So when it comes to wide receiver and cornerback matchups, Cardinals got Marvin Harrison Jr. in his second year?
Yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr. is their kind of ace, you know, and you're just going to kind of figure that out. And the question I have is whether the Saints are going to play a lot of zone, whether they're going to have Kool-Aid kind of chase guys around. They did that against the Broncos a little bit. They had Kool-Aid kind of shadow and go from side to side. Mm-hmm. I don't really love that idea. I think with a young cornerback, you really want to kind of give him rules and let him stick on one side, especially with Ike on the other side. Like, I feel good about him playing a side and Kool-Aid playing a side. So we'll have to see how they handle it. But, you know, I think it's going to be more about the front seven and how they handle the run game, how they handle the quarterback run. Because, you know, and I talked to Brandon Staley about this. It's like, you have to game plan specifically for what the quarterback is going to do. You can't just say, like, hey, we're going to handle it within our scheme. Like, you have to plan for how Kyler Murray specifically wants to run. Mm-hmm. And he can do it in so many different ways that if you can't keep him from extending plays for 10 seconds, you're not going to have a lot of chance to cover anybody, right? Mm-hmm. Like, no defensive back is going to hold up on an island if you make him cover forever. So the Saints have to contain Kyler and then also get him to the ground when they are in position to do so. And that's going to determine a lot from a coverage perspective.
So you got to maintain contain on the outside, but yet you can't leave the inside open because he'll just run up the middle of the field for God knows how far.
Exactly. And he can do both things. Like, sometimes, like I look at Spencer Rattler and Tyler Shuck, as they're both very mobile, but they do it in very different ways, right? Kyler is able to do both of those things. Like, he's willing to extend behind the line of scrimmage, but he's also able to just, like, he's had a 50-yard run and like each of the last three seasons, like he's able to just find a gap and go.
Got some rockets on him.
Speed to make it hurt. Yes.
Got some rockets.
He kind of runs like Super Mario if you watch him. You know, if you've ever played Super Mario, when he gets to the mushroom, he's like, that's kind of how he runs.
Do you think he's 5'10"?
I think he's 5'9", personally.
I think he's more like 5'7", just looking at the proportion of the helmet. And look, I'm not a big guy at all. I'm not trying to make fun of his height. I'm just saying I think they kind of fudge a little on his size, but he is very, very fast. Tell me about the Cardinals' defense.
Yeah, we kind of talked about it with Buda. You know, I mean, it all starts in the back.
I guess I'm talking about more the front seven.
Yeah, no, and they have some really interesting pieces on the front seven. They brought in Calais Campbell, who, you know, we always talk about Cam Jordan as this guy who's kind of eternal and is just always there. Mm-hmm. Calais Campbell's the same way. He's going into year like 17. It's crazy. Mm. I kind of feel like Cam Jordan is playing as long as Calais plays. Like, if Calais ever retired, Cam would be like, all right, I got it. Because he's been
hard
at Berkeley.
To believe. It's 17, crazy. 18 meters. Yeah, 6'8", 315 pounds.
Right. You would think like his knees would be breaking down on him, but you know he's still there, still making plays. And it's always a question of how much juice he still has left. but he's going to be a load to handle on the inside. They drafted Darius Robinson last year. I think he's their outside rusher on the left side. Really good player out of Missouri. Just kind of another huge dude. Like, they have a lot of size on this defensive line. They brought in Josh Sweat from the Eagles, won a Super Bowl there. So now they have a lot of talent there. They're going to, like, again, I don't see a ton of holes in this defense. You just kind of look at every position and you're just like, oh, okay. Like, let's see how they handle this. Let's see how they handle this. I don't expect a ton of extra pressure. Mm-hmm. I'd be surprised if they sent a lot of exotic blitzes. I think they're just going to be doing a lot with their coverage and trusting their front seven to get after the quarterback, and their front four specifically to get after the quarterback. And you know, the Saints' offensive line is a big question mark, right? So I don't think they're going to be doing a ton. You might run some stunts. You might try to confuse them. But I'd be surprised if you see anything but, you know, simulated pressure. I think they're going to sit back and force these quarterbacks to try to beat them. But again, week one, there's not a ton of game plan specific stuff that you can really incorporate. Mm-hmm. And that's true on both sides of the ball. Like the Saints, if they win one or both of these games to start the season, a lot of it's going to come down to the defense for the Cardinals. And next week, the defense of the 49ers, they're just not going to have a lot to go on. Right, like they're not going to know what the tendencies are, mm-hmm. because it's a new offense with a new quarterback. Even if you went Tyler Shuck, it would be a new quarterback. Even with Spencer Rattler, you have some tape, but not much tape, and it's tape in a different offense with different playmakers. So that's going to be an advantage for the Saints too.
Given Kyler Murray and like you're saying, having some rockets, he's got speed, a Super Mario, I would think. That gives the Cardinals a big advantage when it comes to the defense still kind of getting in a tackling mode.
In the sense of the Saints defense?
Yeah, well, yeah, because all defenses in the NFL, this is the first time they tackled during preseason, but the vets didn't get a lot of time, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if, you know, from an angles perspective maybe, but you can work on angles in the preseason. I don't think tackling the quarterback is where when you struggle tackling, that's where it comes. Because
I'm talking about specifically
quarterbacks aren't breaking tackles,
but specifically, you know? Kyler Murray, I guess I'm talking about angles and getting him.
Yeah, pursuit angles and stuff like that. I think it's more so going to be James Conner. Like when I look at like tackling, mm-hmm. and are you ready to tackle week one? It's the big bruising running back that's going to run through you if you're not doing it right. You know, like if you get to Kyler, you can tackle him. Mm-hmm. He's a pretty easy guy to get down once you get a hand on him. He's he's tiny.
You swat a fly, you can get him, but you got to get him first.
Yeah, you got to get there. But you can work. Like, they've been working on pursuit angles. Again, I think James Conner, if there's going to be tackling issues, it's going to be James Conner on the inside, and then Marvin Harrison Jr. on the outside, because a guy like Kool-Aid McKinstry is going to have to tackle that dude who is bigger than him, mm-hmm. right? Like if you're isolated on the outside and he catches the ball, you got to bring him down. You know, he's not. I wouldn't compare him to Julio Jones, but he kind of reminds me of that in terms of like one of the reasons Julio Jones was so effective is not only was he catching the ball, he was breaking tackles and then going for another 20, 30 yards. I think in a perfect world for the Cardinals, that's what Marv is doing. So. That might be where you see some of that creep in, is on the outside.
What do we know about the Cardinals' special teams?
Oof. Well, I'm not as familiar with their kicker, but I do know their punter. It's Blake mm-hmm. Gillikin, if you recall.
Oh yeah.
You know, he's still kicking it. He's still kicking it a mile. So you know, it's. I'm sure he'll be motivated to send a few out there. I don't think he was in Arizona the last time the Saints played him, which would have been 2023. It was a Thursday night game. So this will be, I think, the first time he gets to go against his former team. So maybe he'll add a couple extra yards in the leg for this
one. Did you watch the LSU Clemson game?
I did.
I was talking to Tim about Trey Green, and man, that formation where they had four guys on one side and him on the other, isolating the cornerback. I don't know how you defend that. I really don't.
You defend that with a cornerback that can win one on one, right?
And I don't know a lot of 6-7 corners. Do you?
Well, right, exactly. You don't. They don't exist. So you have to have a corner that can win, and that's why big physical corners. Like that's why there's a premium on them. Like right. Like when you look at the draft, you know, well, you don't see running backs at the top. Mm-hmm. You see cornerbacks. You see wide receivers. You see the big physical guys on the edge of the field that can either make a contested catch or defend a contested catch. And it's a lot easier said than done. But yeah, I mean, like there was no mystery as to what LSU was trying to do on mm-hmm. that play. Right, they're like, we're going to get all of your defenders on that side of the field, and we're going to say, you got one guy over here. Can he stop this? And he couldn't. And it's a touchdown. And you know, that's more of an NFL concept than a college mm-hmm. concept. You see a lot more of those kind of jump ball plays. Like, I trust my guy more than you trust your guy.
Well, and just the physics of it. The physics of it with the wingspan on that guy.
Right. And I mean, they tried it a couple times. It didn't work. But they also tried it a couple times. You drew a penalty. So, no, I mean, that's why, you know, we talk about why did the Saints want to go out and get the Devon Vele, right? Like, why was it such a worthwhile investment for them, even if they paid maybe a little bit more than the market value might have told you it was? It's because when you can just throw a ball up like that and trust your guy to come down with it, it's such a huge asset for your offense, and it makes you so much more difficult to defend. Because, hey, if they double that guy, then you can just go to the other side of the field where all your receivers are and counter it that way. So, no, I mean, not having a big-bodied target that you can just isolate and say good luck, you know, it makes things a lot more complicated for you. So, no, that's what they have with him. And, you know, I think LSU has a couple of really nice receivers. I don't even know if we saw all of it in that game. Chris Hilton's a great big-bodied wide receiver, and, you know, I thought he had a rough game. So I think this LSU team could do some damage this year.
I think so, too. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. We'll take a break. Come back. Find out what Dave Cohen's got planned for you today. He's in for Newell here at WWL.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.